T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Have forced a game 7 that will be coming up on Wednesday night in Boston.
Dad would say, pop that clutch, Dale. Let's go.
Dale Arnold.
Yes, damn it. We are going to talk about the Bruins.
Rich Key.
It's going to be like a train coming at you.
I'm riding this train till the wheels fall off.
The building's going to be incredible.
Don't count on the crowd. Don't count on the refs. Don't make excuses. Just do it.
Dale and Keith.
Oh, I just touched the microphone in my mouth.
Been Let's worse. Think about who's been sitting over there.
Oh,
you just kissed Mutt.
Oh. Mutt right there.
I'm going to throw up. That is awful.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Frankly, I was surprised to see you here this morning.
I made it.
Thought you'd go through decontamination.
Yeah, I had to go
somewhere.
Get a tetanus shot, but I'm here.
I made it.
It was a tough night, but here I am. I wouldn't miss it for the world, Dale.
It's
a game 7. So, holy smokes.
Andrew Raycroft, who will join us from noon to 1 in studio
Razor.
Today, he tweeted out last night, he said, right now in the city of Boston, there are 40 players, 8 coaches, and 2 general managers who won't sleep worth a damn tonight.
No, don't need it at all.
I mean, hell, I'm just an observer of the game, and I kept waking up thinking about it.
I know, just a fan of the game.
If you're a Bruins fan.
Yeah, you're freaking out about it. You can only imagine what the players, and that's, again, what kind of goes back to some of the experience part of it. Like, these guys have played in Stanley Cup final games, or at least a handful of them have for the Bruins, and they've won it and they've lost it, so they know what it's like. The Blues don't really have that same kind of experience, but nothing better. Can't wait.
Cannot wait for, well, it'll be 8:25. I mean, let's
be honest
about it.
By the time they start this damn thing.
Oh, it will be. It'll be 8:25 by the time they drop the puck.
But at least there won't be a Gary Clark Jr. concert that we have to watch, right?
No, I don't think so.
Is there? Did we get news that there's no concert tonight? So there's not going to be a forced song that we have to listen to?
Now, they'll have Fan Fest out on Canal Street, you know, before the game, as they have done for all the home games. I'll tell you this.
No performers,
we have a Nesson set outside.
Yeah.
And Jack and Brick and Barry do their part of the pregame show outside, and Billy and I are inside. And so at one point, Nesson was thinking, well, maybe we should do the postgame show out on our outdoor set.
Oh, that'd be great if they win.
There's actually, I mean, I think the city of Boston police basically said, you know,
maybe don't do that.
Maybe not outside on a set, you know, where you're kind of trapped out there. Now, if the Bruins win tonight, it'll be bedlam and it'll be drunken happiness.
I mean, if they win, there's still a chance of mass fires and things like that. But I feel like if they lose,
oh my Lord,
you can almost guarantee it. People are going to be frustrated.
So
Dale,
we'll be inside the building. We for post game
behind, you know, security walls and everything else
and stuff like that.
Okay, good.
Because being outside on Canal Street post game tonight might not be a great idea.
Because believe it or not, Dale, there is a chance that they lose.
Yes,
there is a chance. They've already lost 3 times to this team, including at the Garden. I mean, there's a chance they could lose 3 home games.
Can you imagine?
That seems so bizarre.
You
now,
are bumming me out.
The Blues are that team though that have been really good on the road.
Much better on the road than at home.
Yeah, so that hasn't been a problem for them. And I think the pressure kind of got to them in game 6, like the chance to clinch. And now that they got that out of the way, maybe they feel a little bit better. Even though it is a game 7, for them, they had that chance in front of the home crowd, couldn't do it. And maybe now the pressure kind of shifts more to the Bruins.
I'll be curious to get Raycroft's take on this as a player. But back in the day when you used to have home and homes, like the Bruins and Canadians would play Friday night in Montreal, and then they'd play Saturday night at the Garden. And, you know, Friday night would end up being some tong war up there. And you'd say, wait till these two teams. And invariably, you went, that was it?
Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah.
So everybody's expecting tonight to be a war, especially on the part of the St. Louis Blues. They're a chippy, dirty team to begin with. They have attempted to hurt players, not just through this series, but throughout the playoffs.
Oh, it's been pretty consistent with that.
No, they have. And I almost wonder if that's going to be the case tonight or not.
I think it is. I think this might be one of those times where it kind of builds to that. And even Berube's comments aside, you know, from yesterday where he was talking about, oh, I think our guys were afraid to get suspended and all that. It's just how they play. So it's not like they need to turn it up. It's not like, oh, one of your guys got run, and now we need to stick up for ourselves. And so you play uncharacteristically. This is what the Blues have done the whole time. I mean, they're taking head hits, they're running goalies, and now their backs are up against it. This is how they're going to play. Now, obviously, they didn't mean to take Chara out of the game when they took Chara out of the game.
That was a fluke.
But Grizzlick goes out, they win that game. Chara goes out, they win that game. I don't know. That seems like something that you may want to do. The Blues have played really well in this series. Like, 5-on-5, they've been a lot better than I thought. But they still, I don't think, have as much skill as the Bruins. I think they know that. And so if they have to go and throw around these big hits. And also, now you're forcing the refs, who, again, were good in Game 6. But you're forcing them to have to blow the whistle a lot in a Game 7, which they don't want to do. They don't want to have to be the story.
Just the opposite.
Right.
They would prefer, and we've always talked about that game that was the best hockey game I ever saw in my life, Bruins and Tampa Bay, and there were no penalties called.
Zero. That was a Game 7.
And it's
zero.
The kind of thing that if the officials had their way, there would be none.
But there's no chance there's zero tonight.
I can't even envision.
There just isn't. And I know Berube would say, well, we were the least penalized team in hockey.
He would
not
be wrong.
Well, he's wrong about that. Now, they actually do have fewer penalties than you would think. Based on how they play, you would think they'd be sort of at the other end of the spectrum, and they're not. I mean, the Bruins get penalized less. The Maple Leafs only played one series, but they get penalized less. But the Blues, surprisingly, don't serve a lot of time in the box, although you could say, well, they had a guy get suspended and he didn't even get penalized for that game. So they're willing to throw around these head hits. And also, they got to be, after the performance that Tuukka Rask had last game, if you were ever going to run a goalie, and I don't even know if that works necessarily,
well,
but I feel like
they have tried on a couple of occasions.
Don't you go back to it? I kind of feel like they're going to go back to it.
I expect them to run Tuukka Rask in the first period of tonight's game. Now, he's got run a couple of times, and it hasn't really caused any.
There have been goaltender interference penalties,
a couple of them called.
Yeah.
I mean, Brad Marchand got called for a goaltender interference penalty or whatever it
was called. That was a slash. Spear, slash, pitchfork, attempted murder. Yeah, that was dangerous.
Whatever it was.
Well, that was a reputation penalty.
Yes.
That's not anybody else is getting that one.
The big thing here is that if you're a player on the St. Louis Blues, and I know that Craig Berube's trying to say unleash the hounds.
Yeah.
But it is locked in the back of your brain. I don't want to be the one who costs my team the game. I don't want to be the goat because I do something stupid and I take a 5-minute boarding major and the Bruins score 3 power play goals. So that's always in the back of your head.
Yeah.
No matter what Berube says,
right,
you don't want to be the goat forever.
Yeah, no, that's true because the Bruins have been able to all playoffs long make teams pay. They go on the power play and they score. I mean, you go back to Game 3, 4 goals on 4 shots. So they will make you pay if you're able to do. And so that's why I wonder if we'll ever even see a major. Like, I just feel like they might be bad and it's going to end up being 2 minutes because the refs don't want to have to be the story of the game, but the Blues might sort of force their hand into it. But all the Bruins can do is take advantage. Score a power play goal or two, and that might be the whole difference in the game.
There's a hockey analytics site called The Point, and they do, you know, very specific breakdowns of this thing. And they're looking at Game 7 for tonight's game. And one of the things they say about the Blues, they say the Bruins have actually been very consistent throughout the course of the playoffs. They said they put up very similar performances 5-on-5. Their numbers are actually even a little better in losses, as you can expect, because you're not just packing it in and trying to kill time. Their 5-on-5 play is better than what you think so far. But the thing about the Blues, they say, they've been the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of this series. They're capable of the best or the worst on any given night. And boy, that is exactly true. They can be great, and we've seen them be great in this series, and we've seen them be awful.
Yeah, I mean, in the last 2 wins for the Bruins, they outscored the Blues 12-3. Now, empty net or whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, so that's what the score was. 12-3 in those games, whereas when they've won, it was 6-3, like the last 2 games I'm talking about. So that has been a huge difference. They need to win. They need to scrape by and get a 1-goal win, whereas the Bruins usually kind of win comfortably. Like these games, you know, mid to late third period, you're like, all right, this thing is all wrapped up. Whereas, you know, the Blues had to go to overtime in game 2 and then really fight and claw in those other games. So you get the sense that if the Bruins are trailing in the game. Say they're down 2-0. Not ideal, but I feel like they
you
could
feel
come
like
back.
They can come back.
I think
yes.
there's a chance. I think they could. Okay, here they are. They even did that earlier in the series. It was like game one. They fought all the way back. Whereas if the Blues are down 2-0, I just don't know.
You almost
if they're built
feel like
for
it's
that.
Over at that.
I
point.
Do for that one. Yeah, for that one.
I mean, when the Bruins went up 2-0 in game six.
Yeah.
I kind of half thought it was over, but then I remembered back to Game 6,
yeah,
2013. I've seen a team score a couple of... Now, the Chicago
that
Blackhawks are a lot better
yeah,
team
yeah.
than this team. But the minute the third goal went in, the minute it became 3-0, I thought there is absolutely no chance Tuukka Rask gives up three goals.
Yeah, no, the way he was way too locked in. And then it's also, you get the sense, too, like whether Binnington has it or not. Like, we've seen games where he's looked really good. And then we've seen other games where you're like, is this guy's a starter in the league? And you can maybe see why he's taken this strange path to the NHL. So if they get to him early, I don't know if he's all of a sudden able to lock in. Like, say they score three goals in the first two periods. I don't know if Bennington's going to just shut it down for the third period. I wouldn't see that. But if he's good early, maybe it's just, okay, this is his night and he's going to be locked in.
There's really only one decision as we go into this.
Yeah.
One decision for Bruce Cassidy to make this morning. And the decision may be taken out of his hands, but assuming that Matt Grzelcyk skates this morning, and I assume he will, it'll be an optional, but he'll be out there.
Yeah.
Assuming he clears the concussion protocol, he may or may not, that's the only decision for Bruce Cassidy. He's already decided Carson Kuhlman's staying in. Sorry, David Backes, you're not going to be out there.
Yeah, I mean,
the only decision he has to make mm-hmm. here is if Grzelcyk is cleared, does he put him back in and sit, I would assume, John Moore in that situation.
Yeah, and I wouldn't. I would sit Grzelcyk. It's too bad because he's been great all year. I mean, you could make a case at times he was their third best defenseman. I mean, the way things were going, I mean, you could rank him anywhere from third to fifth, but he's had some really good games. He's been really valuable to the team, but it's been 2 weeks and they keep our expectations were he was going to play, right? I mean, I think
he thought he was going to play.
We had a hockey insider on this very station tell us
guarantee
that he had been cleared,
yeah.
And that was game five.
Book it.
That was game five. Yeah, book it. It didn't play. Game six, traveled with the team, didn't play. Yesterday, we're on the non-contact. So, is there a chance that he gets cleared today? Yes. But do you want to take that chance? A guy who, it's 2 weeks ago to the day that he suffered the concussion. It's been a little bit longer for him to get back. It's really impossible to throw a timetable on these concussions.
Confirmed game five
of the Stanley Cup final.
Of the Stanley Cup final.
This
There's
Thursday
only one
night.
Of them. This Thursday night, he is playing.
Ugh. And that was trying to distract from the fact that he was wrong on Chara. But anyway,
yeah.
we moved that to the side. Grzelcyk, even if he's cleared, I don't want to do it. I think the six defensemen that were there last game were good. John Moore played over 4 minutes shorthanded. It was a big part of how they killed off every penalty. He's good enough. The six guys that they have are more than capable.
John Moore was really good in game six.
And
he wasn't just capable. He was good.
Oh, he was great. He was beyond good. And you made the point yesterday, you know, is he going to have another game like that? Maybe not. But how good do you feel about a 5'9" Grzelcyk returning to a series like this and maybe, just maybe, having the Blues go after him a little bit?
Maybe
finish
I
high.
Guarantee
100% they do.
They would go after him.
And
I guarantee they will try to hit him high. If he's up against the glass, they'll try to drive his head through the glass. It is their DNA.
And I know it's a different injury, but after watching Kevin Durant return, right, you're looking at his leg, boom. He plays well for 10 minutes or 12 minutes. And then re-aggravates the injury and makes it even worse. So if Matt Grzelcyk goes out there, say he has a couple of shifts, then all of a sudden here comes Perron or Maroon or one of these guys, cross-check to the head. Even if they serve 2 minutes, Grizzlick's probably done for the game.
Yes.
I'm not taking that chance. And I'm sorry because he was great and it's too bad. And I'm sure he would kill to play in a game seven, but I'm going to stick with John Moore.
I probably wouldn't make any changes either. I know Chris Wagner's been desperately trying to work his way back into the lineup, and I love Chris Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
I love what he's brought to the table this year.
Those other guys are too good right now.
I can't mess with that fourth line.
Yeah,
I know that there are folks who are suggesting you get Danton Heinen out of there. He isn't scoring, and
he's
freely
not.
Grant you that.
That's true.
But he's doing so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just that the hockey purists see it, and you know the casual fans
don't see it. I don't see it.
You know, his
that line's been good.
The line's been really good,
yeah.
And defensively they're strong, a lot because of the way Heinen has played. I would not take Heinen out. I would not mess with either the third or the fourth lines. And now that you've got Kuhlman ensconced on the right wing on the second line.
Yeah, and that seems to be the fit.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, after he responded, and that's incredible. I mean, he didn't play. He played in game three of the Columbus series, Kuhlman did. And then we didn't see him until game six. That's pretty incredible to sort of stay with it and to not just. I mean, I wouldn't be able to handle that. I mean, as a player, you want to be in there, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, why don't you sit for, you know, a month and a half, and then we need you in the biggest game. And then he stepped up, and he was great.
He's an interesting kid. He was the captain of the team that won the NCAA championship right. A year ago. And his coach told Billy Jaffe, he's going to be a 20-goal scorer any place he plays.
Mm.
You know, in college, in the minor leagues, in the NHL. He said he's always going to be in the right place. He's always going to do the right thing. He's going to use his speed. He's going to play hard. All the things that the coach told Billy before the season started. And Billy's been high on this kid all season
Has
long.
He, yeah.
And you see something about the character, because as you say, he's been sitting for a while now.
That's tough to do, and I think Krejci has to like it, right? Krejci's got a little bit, now he's got more skill on his side, because he's been pretty invisible for most of the series, and really there are times throughout a lot of the games of the playoffs. But if Krejci has a guy that can, you know, shoot the way that Kuhlman can, it kind of elevates his game a little bit too.
I'm always curious about these things because we've pointed this out in the past. There are more people in America who don't watch the Super Bowl than do. It's hard for us
I don't get that.
I know. It's hard for us to imagine, given the fact that we're sports fans and what we do for a living. But the bottom line is more people don't watch than do. Obviously, more people will not be watching tonight in Boston than will be. More people do not care than do. And I always wonder about that segment of the population.
What are they doing? Well, what's tonight? Wednesday night? What do you got on Wednesday nights? Anything?
I have no idea.
Nothing. NXT? You got NXT, I think? That's good. That's a good take. You can watch that later. You can sort of put that on the old network and watch it later. There's nothing. There's nothing else on tonight.
So if
the Red Sox even moved their game early. So even if you're one of these diehard 162-game Red Sox fans, their game's over. You get nothing. This is it. They're going to put up like a 36 share.
It's going to be a huge number.
Press Your Luck is on tonight.
Press Your Luck. Thank you, Rossi. So maybe
I don't believe I've ever sampled that.
Dip it into Press Your Luck. What kind of prize can you win?
Followed by Card Sharks.
Card Sharks on tonight?
Both on ABC.
So there you go. There's a good chunk of the audience will be over there.
But even among the sports fans.
Yeah.
Now, I understand there are people who aren't sports fans. They don't give a damn.
Well, that's the thing.
That's fine.
100% of sports fans are watching.
100%, do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, because we hear it all the time. Hey, nobody in this town cares about hockey, you moron.
No, 100%. It's game 7.
If you're a sports fan in Boston,
100% are watching.
Even if you don't like hockey,
yeah, you're watching.
You're going to watch tonight.
Yes. 100%.
I can't even imagine.
It's for every
if you claim you're a sports fan and you don't like hockey, and that's fine. I can't imagine you don't say, "Yeah, I got to see."
Yeah, cuz it's the reverse. Say you're a absolute diehard hockey fan and the Bruins are your number one team. If I told you the Celtics were playing a game 7 of the NBA Finals at home tonight, you might not have watched much of games 1 through 6, but game 7, you're absolutely watching. You know this is the end of it. And it's just such great drama. Like, the theater of it, it's the best thing that's on television tonight. There's not a lot of great shows on anyway, but as far as just getting sucked up into it, you don't even have to be that big of a fan. If you are, it means even more.
Right.
But you'll just get the sense, if you just turn it on and sit there and watching these two teams play, I don't know how you can't enjoy it.
I got to think that the whole aspect of having three championship teams in one city in a, you know, 8-9 month period is
Thanks,
part
Kyrie.
Of it as well.
Kyrie
well,
absolutely screwed us.
I know.
Could have been four. Could have had four
Think
duck
about
boat
that.
Parades.
With all the
four
injuries on the Golden State Warriors,
well,
if you had
one?
Made it to the NBA Finals,
they would have won.
You'd have had a chance.
They match up well with the Warriors. They would have won the whole thing. Had those guys just had a pizza party, like I said, I told Danny Ainge, why didn't you have a pizza party? Ainge said we'd thought about it. But I don't think they went through with it. So if those guys got along better, we might be talking about all four teams winning. But three is nothing to sneeze at, Dale. I think as a sports fan, you'll happily settle for three championships.
I think tonight is going to be a huge night for the city of Boston. I will ask you, I will implore you, as a resident of this fine city.
Well, everybody listening to
handle
this?
Yourself well tonight.
What do you mean?
Win or lose?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, handle yourself.
Don't do anything illegal.
Don't turn this into Vancouver.
What
in
time?
2011.
Now, I know you're working.
Yeah.
But what time would you recommend people start drinking? Now?
11?
Yeah, 11 a.m.
Just
where do you go? What do you pre-game or anything?
Probably now.
It's got to be day drinking day.
But the problem is,
no problem.
You need to be wide awake until 10:45.
You start slow.
Wide awake.
Just a drink, you know, and casually sip it for like an hour, maybe during the Red Sox.
Just sip it during the Red Sox.
Sip it during the Red Sox game, then just let it loose come 8 o'clock.
Well, probably the real pro move is you don't take today off from work. You take tomorrow off from work. Yeah, today you kind of
work. I'm a little worried about my work today.
You'll be here. You'll be great. Today you sort of sneak out of work early today, but then you just take tomorrow off altogether.
I don't care.
Win or lose.
I don't care if you're a fan of the Bruins or not. You want the Bruins to win tonight just for Dale tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Because
I don't even know if he's going to be on live.
Do we have a third guy in tomorrow?
We're going to be calling a lot of favors tomorrow because Dale, he already said the other day he's going to sound worse than Mike after he got hit by a car or something.
Jeez.
Well, I can't make promises.
Well, Dale, I'll be here. I'll be here.
Dale, will you sip, will you get a little, if they win, will you be drinking some beer out of the cup tonight?
I don't know if I have the ability to do that.
14 of them.
No, I know
I've
how
heard
many.
That. Yeah, 14 beers in there.
I don't know if I'm going to have access to that.
That's a yes.
Oh, yeah, I have a feeling Dale will be wearing the exact same outfit he's wearing right now, 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Walk of shame tomorrow.
Oh, no, wait.
Walk of shame for
I'll
Dale.
Tell you what I did.
You brought an extra
packed
shirt.
A bag with another outfit.
He's having
in
a
my
sleepover.
Car.
Dale's having a North End sleepover.
I said
tonight.
To my
Watch
wife,
out, ladies.
I said to my wife, I said, listen, if the Bruins lose, you know, I'll be home the normal time, 1:30.
Okay.
If they win,
forget about
it. I might not see
you. Don't leave the light on. Don't worry about me. I'll see you the next day. Well, I'm excited for that. That's going to be an interesting
program
tomorrow.
I'll be out here in the parking lot sleeping in the back seat of my Kia.
There's a couch in here somewhere. Down the hall?
Joe's office
has a couch.
That's not unlocked.
Take a snooze down
just
there.
Just break through the glass down
great.
There.
No problem.
It's going to be a blast for the city of Boston tonight. It is game 7. The only time in the 95-year history of the Boston Bruins that they have hosted a game 7 for a Stanley Cup final. It's mind-boggling to me that in the other 6 times they've won the Stanley Cup, they never hosted a game 7 championship game. But tonight's the night.
Tonight's the night. Going to be crazy.
All right, here's the deal. We will give you an opportunity to qualify to win 2 tickets for tonight's game.
We're still doing that?
We're going to do it not once,
Ooh,
but
boy.
Twice.
Oh.
Twice today, we're going to give you the opportunity. I think we got an extra one because OMF got shortened.
Oh, that's right.
So their show
an
got shortened,
show.
So we got one of theirs. So we're going to give you 2 opportunities to qualify to be in the building tonight, which would be fun. Andrew
or
Raycraft,
flip those tickets. 2, 3, 4 grand.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's
karma.
30 grand? What do you mean, bad karma? We are walking around with 30 grand in my pockets, real bad karma.
Come on.
I can buy karma
get
with
on
that
the
kind
way.
Of money.
Andrew Raycroft's going to join us in studio from noon to 1 as we kind of break this whole thing down. And even more important than all of that, more important than Game 7, more important than giving away tickets, more important than Andrew Raycroft, Keefe's Keys. Make a return.
To game 7. Keith's Keys to game 7.
Today.
Wow.
I just don't know how we can get it any better than this.
Oh, boy.
By the way, can we just ask the fellas in the morning how hot they need it in here?
It's a sauna in here.
So
what is wrong with them?
I come in the door.
They have a disorder?
And I look at the thermostat.
Hot.
And it's 75.
Ridiculous.
Now, Wiggy's wearing his Lil Nas X Bruins jersey today.
He's
so
be hot.
He was plenty warm
hot
enough.
Wearing the sweater. Holy mackerel, it's
what
hot
is,
in here.
What is up with those guys?
It's never the right temperature in here. You notice that? It's either freezing or hot as all get out.
75?
Maybe Mutt just shaved and needed to warm it up in there a little bit today.
Well, maybe. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your calls in just a couple of minutes. But first,
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We have to trend.
I believe we'll be the 50-win team that we saw all year. We're not going to allow one game to define us.
McAvoy scores! They score! Save by Rask! Score! Carlo! And Bergeron punctuates it. The Bruins make the Stanley Cup road go over the spoked B.
Captain scores!
Backhanded block covered by Tuukka Rask.
The Boston Bruins have gotten to the Eastern Conference Final. For the first time since 2013, score! Tip by Pastrnak!
It's always these three guys that step up in a big way.
Pastrnak to Bergeron, he scores!
You get to the end of the toothpaste, you can always squeeze a little bit more.
Score! Bergeron!
Is there anything left for this team to squeeze?
The Bruins have taken the Hurricanes' will to win.
After you have a poop sandwich, a little toothpaste goes a long way.
Tuukka
Rask has a shutout. 4-0, the sweep by his team.
I want to say mirrored images, but pretty darn close. I look at the back end for both of these teams to be the difference in this series.
He scores! Boom, boom,
Gunnarsson! He's hurt.
Oh, it went off his own stick, and it came up and it got him right in the face.
On the bench, in his 21st season, from Princeton, Slovakia, number 33,
have won game five.
And the Bruins have forced a game seven.
Oh, it might be time to start drinking now.
Woo, here we go. I'm ready. I think Bloody Mary's all around, Shem. Bloody Mary's all around. I mean, it's not even noon yet.
Orange whip.
Three orange whips. I think so. I think we're ready to go. Good montage, Rossi.
Good job, Rossi.
I am ready to go.
All right, let's give you a couple of omens, shall we?
Omens?
If you're looking for omens, I usually am. Beyond the nuts and bolts stuff.
Yeah.
June 12th.
Okay.
Today's date.
Today's June 12th?
June 12th, 1979.
Take us back.
The Hockey Hall of Fame says, you know what? We're going to waive our three-year waiting period. We're going to make Bobby Orr the youngest player to be selected for induction into the Hockey Hall of Fame at the age of 31. June 12th, 1979.
Pretty good.
So let's go back to 2010, 2011.
Okay.
The Bruins open the preseason in Europe. They do this preseason thing. They're over there.
Where are they, like Prague?
Yes.
That was, right?
So they open the preseason in Europe. New Year's Day, the Winter Classic is at Fenway Park. They win the Winter Classic at Fenway Park. They win the Stanley Cup that year.
Interesting. Okay.
So we go to this year.
I'm playing along.
The Bruins open the preseason in China.
That's right.
New Year's Day, they win the Winter Classic at Notre Dame. And they've got a Game 7 possibility to win the Cup tonight.
You see what's happening here?
Yes.
I would say so. So everything's coming up Bruins is what you're saying.
Well.
Everything's coming up Bruins.
It feels
like it does a little bit. But then again, the Blues are that team that I don't know how they're doing it necessarily. Like they are more talented than Carolina. Like Carolina was actually more of a mystery, you know, and reliving that montage that Carolina was just a team that didn't belong there. St. Louis belongs here more than they do, but still they're a tough team to figure out because when they've looked good, Binnington is shutting everybody down. O'Reilly's flying all over the ice. Tarasenko's a good goal scorer.
Yep.
They got a really good top defensive pair, but overall, I mean, this is the Bruins series to lose. I mean, they are the better team. I think from start to finish of the playoffs, they have played better. They should win, but it's one of those stupid, you know, adages. Game seven, obviously anything can happen here. And oh my God, the Blues winning though, I think would be, I said this earlier in the week, I think it would be bad for hockey. Because of the way that they play,
that's exactly what hockey's trying to get away from.
Right, and then they'd pull you back in, because teams around the league might say, oh, you know what? Maybe that's what we had. Maybe you got to goon it up a little bit. Go get a goon coach, and then goon squad, take penalties, and, you know, get suspended, who cares, and let's kind of, you know, muck it up that way. Whereas if the Bruins win, it's kind of back in line with the, you know, the more skilled teams are coming out on top.
The way things work, the way things are set up, if you're a Bruins fan, you feel pretty good about things. You feel like, you know.
So that's my question. Like, do you feel confident tonight?
I feel nervous. Confident with some reservation.
I'm sweaty, but I think that's just the temperature in the room.
Like,
I don't think that's got anything to do with how I feel about the game.
It's really just more of that.
Can we do the show outside?
Might as well. It is cool gross
down
in there.
Cool down up there.
Yeah, so the sweat I don't think has anything to do with the game. But I want to be more confident than I am, but I'm like, St. Louis has come in here and won two games in Boston already.
I woke up a number of times during the night thinking about...
Night terrors?
No.
Oh. Not that. Like, join the club, Dale. Holy smokes.
No.
Okay.
Thinking about, you know, game seven and what's at stake. And every time I would think about what will it be like if the Bruins win,
yeah,
I would immediately go, yeah, but what will it be like if they lose?
Exactly.
Because you don't want to jinx them, right?
No. No, you don't. I mean... Because there
oh,
is.
Oh, that's right. I screwed up too. The Winter Classic was February 1st, 2010. Man.
What happened to our omens?
I felt so good about. Well, the rest of it's okay.
No,
they
it's
did
not.
Start.
The rest
they
of
did
it's
start
crap.
In Prague.
Throw it all out. None of it matters now. Season's over. Come on. I wrote all those down.
I got thinking about it because we're wearing jerseys. We're doing a lot of Bruins swag in here today.
You should see these monsters in the other room over here. Rossi's got a Patrice Bergeron jersey that wouldn't fit Chara. It wouldn't fit Zdeno Chara. He's walking around. It looks like a nightgown. It's outrageous.
It is my second least favorite Bruins sweater ever.
Why? Because Rossi's wearing it?
No. My least favorite ever is the yellow Pooh Bear sweater.
Oh, you don't like the big blades?
Which, by the way... They were making for the kids. The kids loved them.
Yeah.
My kids loved them. I hated it.
Oh, you're heartless.
This is
that's
the
a nice sweater.
This is
we'll take a picture
the
and we'll
black
tweet it out.
Alternate jersey with the kind of swooping Bruins logo with the bear on it.
I'm less concerned about the logo and how I can't see his hands. That's a little bit more concerning to me. He looks like a wizard. He looks ridiculous.
It's like working with Merlin.
Yes, poor Shime back there. Shime's got some good Bruins garb on today. He's got the Keep Calm and Bergeron shirt. What is that? That's like a old school Bruins jacket.
It's like from
he's
the 20s.
Yeah, it's like a nice throwback track jacket.
That is real nice.
We have
Milt
a,
Schmidt wore that jacket.
One of our interns has got the Winter Classic sweater from Fenway.
Yeah, was that a Lucic one he's got on?
He's got a Lucic. Yeah. His name, Nudnik, back there.
Well, Nudnik's got a lot of signatures on that, too,
Nudnik,
by the way.
Yeah, he does. I know. He's wearing the signed jersey.
He's wearing an autographed jersey, which I feel like is a faux pas. I don't think you wear autographed jerseys. I think you hang them on the wall.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe it's a break glass in case of emergency. Maybe he had it.
It is
like,
game seven.
Hey, it's game seven. Smashes the frame. Like, we could have just taken it out.
But yeah, if you
like
wear it, doesn't it wear out the signatures?
Yes. I bet he washes it, too, like a psychopath.
His does look like the signatures have faded a bit.
Well, you know what he also has is a sweater that fits.
Oh,
which which is a huge difference for our friend here, Jason Rossi.
So, Jason.
Rossi, are you even wearing pants?
Were you...
Trying to take him off?
Jason.
He's Porky Pig.
Were you taller when you received this sweater as a gift?
Absolutely not. I think I may have gotten shorter.
I think it might be a hand-me-down. Actually,
It's not. This was a Christmas or birthday gift. It's right around the same time from my brother-in-law. Huge hockey fan.
I mean, I think you were supposed to wear like football shoulder pads to help bring that thing up.
His brother-in-law clearly doesn't know his shirt size.
No clue.
Or doesn't like him.
Could have asked.
I was a little bigger before.
You're one text message away from that answer. That's all you had to do. He's like, no, I don't care. Nah. This one looks like it fits.
That's the old eye test.
Yeah, that'll fit him.
It's a size 54. I don't know what that even means.
54?
Is that like a waist?
I think that's pretty big. Because I feel like in basketball jerseys, like a 40-something is probably what would fit you. So 54 seems like a lot.
Oh, it clearly is. We'll get the picture.
By the way, it's not as long as I'm making it out to be, except for the sleeves.
No,
the sleeves aren't
sort of
long.
Is.
No, it's a skirt, not a dress.
He is swimming in it.
He really is.
And it's a Patrice Bergeron sweater.
Yeah.
It would be too big for Patrice Bergeron.
No, Patrice couldn't wear that. No, not a chance. Not even out there on the ice.
Well, we have Nudnik here. He's going to tell you who he does. There's several people signed his jersey.
I see the signatures. I didn't go through them, Nudnik.
I got Chara, Hamilton, Milan Lucic, Rich Peverle, Claude Julien, Andrew Ferentz, Joe Corvo.
Wait, not
why
Joe
the
Corvo.
Hell? Do you have a Joe Corvo?
I used to hang out in high school. Me and my buddy, when we would go to the games, we'd go outside the parking lot where the escalator is now.
Okay.
And they would just pull up and some of them would stop It was awesome.
That's pretty good. I mean, the Dougie Hamilton and the Joe Corvo, you could probably just sign over with somebody else. But that's good.
Those could fade, and you wouldn't care. I got Tyler Seguin, too.
So do you, I got Char and Hamilton Tyler when Seguin. I was living in Tampa, going to college down there. One of my buddies grew up with Dougie Hamilton on the same street.
So okay, so there
he was
you
able
go.
To come over and
now, do you wash that?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. So do you normally have it hanging up? That's my concern here.
It's going to be hung up when Milan Lucic retires.
Oh, interesting.
He's going to wear the hell out of it.
Well, he's got like
then.
8 years left on his deal, so he's not going anywhere. He's getting paid a lot of money.
He might get bought out this summer.
He could get bought out this summer.
And then you can hang the jersey on
the wall. Lots of nice people. We're going to get a picture, and we're going to tweet out Dale Keefe, WEI, the three of these guys, all dressed up for Game 7, ready to rock.
Put Rossi in the middle, because it'll be really funny.
Do I have to take a picture with
these guys? Yes, you do. For the show, you have to. Yes, you do. That's what we do here.
I'm wearing my Bruins carp, which means a nice suit. Because I got to work tonight.
It's pretty nice.
Happy to work tonight, by the
way. Good, you should. I'm looking forward to the pre and the post. We've got to get us through this next 10 hours here.
7 o'clock pregame.
Yeah. Postgame.
Postgame as soon as the final horn sounds.
Makes sense. Don't get me started. Makes sense. So right when the horn goes, we can flip right over. All right, good.
Don't watch them skate the cup around.
I don't see that anyway.
You want to hear what Dale Pulley and Barry have to
that
say.
That Chara moment of him holding the cup around, that wasn't a cool
moment. That's the part that matters.
I'll flip over.
617-779-7937. Your call's coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Maybe if the Bruins were to win,
if
the Bruins were to win,
okay,
could we get Bear Force One over? Because Dropkick Murphy, they're off in touring Europe right now, so they're unavailable.
They probably are available, Bear Force.
So we could fly them over.
Put them on a duck boat, let them sing throughout the whole thing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Really, just this one song.
Well, they got 2 hits. They got 2 hits. Shake That Thing is obviously a good one. And of course, Bear Force One. The self-titled Bear Force One. How many bands have a song named after the band? Ross, that sounds like a trivia question for you.
There's a good amount.
Okay. There you go. Take that to the bank.
There you go.
There's a good amount.
In a bit of a surprising move, Bruce Cassidy has just told the assembled media at the Garden, Matt Grzelcyk has been cleared from the concussion protocol.
Oh, boy.
These are Cassidy's words.
He had that before Fourier.
He expects him to play tonight. That's assuming nothing bad happens in the morning skate. He's out there now for an optional skate this morning. He would be a game time decision, but Cassidy expects Grzelcyk to play. Connor Clifton will come out. So they'll leave John Moore in.
So that's interesting because Connor Clifton has played really, 18 of the playoff games. He's played most of the games we have seen Connor Clifton in there, but he has also really struggled, I think, recently. Like, he's had some flashy moments. You know, he's had some, like, end-to-end plays, and he's kind of flashed at times. But I feel like he's been a little outmatched. And you can also tell by his playing time recently, also. And there was the game that they had the 7 defensemen, and you look all the way back on it in game 4, was it? He played 18 minutes, but he was also a -2. The next game, he only played 640. Think about that. That's nothing. And then last game he played 10 minutes. So we were talking about John Moore a lot because he hadn't played as regularly as Clifton has. But this one does make more sense because Clifton hasn't played very well. But I have the same concern about Grzelcyk is when the Blues,
they're going
to
run him.
When they hit him in the head, is he going to be able to withstand that? Or is it going to be, Kevin Durant-like? Again, very different injury. But just, you cleared it, but now you're going to be right back in the protocol and you're going to have to leave. And then the Bruins are playing with 5 defensemen again. So I still wouldn't go with Grzelcyk, even though, again, when both are healthy, Grzelcyk is much better.
Absolutely.
You want Grzelcyk, but based on the circumstances.
And 2 of the 3 games you lost in this series, you lost when you went down to 5 defensemen. Now, the Chara thing was certainly not the Blues' fault, but
no.
He went down early in the second period. You played with five defensemen the rest of the way. The Grizzlick thing was absolutely Oscar Sundquist's fault.
Yes.
And he missed most of the game. Two of the three losses you have in this series were when you were down a defenseman.
Right.
And he's been cleared. He's ready to go. He's a game-time decision, but Cassidy said he expects him to play tonight.
Yeah.
But you have to think that the Blues will take a run at him.
I think they absolutely will. And again, you look at Connor Clifton, you know, ice time for defensemen, it's the lowest, right? So it's not a shock, I guess, that they would go with him necessarily. But I feel like there is a lot of risk here involved just because we haven't seen Grizzlick in a while. And there was a reason why it took him much longer to get cleared than they even kind of expected, or he even expected.
Our thanks to a texter. Because you put out the call.
I did.
You asked for it.
Yeah, what do we got?
Texter came up with it.
Bad company. No.
Well, there you go.
There it is. That's a famous one. Yeah. Well done.
Black Sabbath, Green Day.
Green Day has a song called Green Day?
Yes.
Do they?
I didn't know that.
It was off their very first release.
Okay. Well, now we're getting cute.
Iron Maiden had a song called Iron Maiden.
Yeah. All right. So the Bears were just following along with all the other classics.
My favorite band name ever also had a song named after him. Meat Puppets.
Hanson?
No, Meat Puppets.
Oh, you can't say that.
Yes, you can.
Dump that.
Yeah, get rid of that,
come
please.
On.
What's the matter with you? It's game seven day. Come on.
Throwing that out there like you don't care. And put your pants back on, too, by the way.
Yeah, he's walking around. He's porky-pigging it all around the place because he's wearing a nightgown to work. It's not wear your nightgown to work day. It's wear your Bruins gear to work day.
It's making me extremely uncomfortable.
Yes, Sean. You should get out of there or file a lawsuit or do something.
I just wanted to test if it covered everything, and it clearly did.
Yeah, well, I don't think that was ever a problem.
The problem was you dropped your pen.
In your face.
You bent down to pick it up. The moon was full over Boston. It just grossed us all out in here.
He's dropping his pen back there. Shime should feel assaulted. Not good. Come on, Rossi. Pull it together for Game 7, would you?
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
Hey, listen, you guys should be nervous. I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I've watched these games, every one of them.
Good.
Bennington has been a gift. A gift. A lot of the goals Boston has scored have been those type of goals where the announcer goes, well, I'll bet Bennington would like to have that one back.
Right.
The Blues are like, they're like blue-collar workers. They show up with a hard hat, a pail, and they just get at it.
Hammond Eggers.
You keep forgetting this guy named Perron. This guy... He passes great. He's got a wicked shot. He's pesky. He's on the goalie constantly. These Blues, I'm telling you what, they outplayed the Bruins just about every game. The scores, those lopsided games.
That 7-2 thing, they totally outplayed them in that one.
5-1 game, last game.
They're a better team than you guys give them credit for.
Are they a better team than a better team than the Bruins, Mike?
I do think they are. I mean, I think from line to line, if you put all the lines together, I think the Bruins do better down the lines. And, you know, number one line, I text my brother the other day, and I said, does Parasinkel and Schwartz and Steen still play for the Blues? They've been lost and found. They're lost, not found. I haven't seen them do anything. That line gets on the ice,
well,
and nothing happens.
Now. Steen's not good anymore. Steen used to be good.
No, he's a good player.
Steen stinks.
He just burst up.
No.
That being said, please. I'm sitting here with my Blues jersey on because I'm from St. Louis.
There it is.
There's a little bias there. But
is it a Pierre Turgeon? Oh, you have to hang up on a Blues fan.
Oh, I did.
Why?
Well, he finally hit us with the money line at the end.
Oh, he's a Blues fan? Who cares?
I'm sitting here in my Blues jersey. Well, I'm not a St. Louis fan.
They can call in,
too. He is the only person I know of who says that the Blues are a better team than the Bruins.
Yeah, nobody's really saying that.
Well, except the guy wearing his Blues jersey. I wonder if
and
he's wearing pants.
Steen's trash player. He's not good anymore. He used to be. He had like a season where he was good, and he's no good anymore.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Andrew Raycroft will join us in an hour. He'll be in studio from noon to 1. We will give you an opportunity to qualify to win tickets for tonight's game. We'll give you two opportunities. We haven't done it yet. People on the text line, hey, did you give the code word? No, time yet. Calm down.
We will.
Put your pants back on like Jason Rossi. And the return of Keith's Keys today.
Can you stand it?
What a day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.